Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Quick hits. Empty stocking needs help. As time winds down in this year's fundraising for the Empty Stocking Fund, many in our community need help. A Merry Christmas meal and gifts for the kiddos are simply out of reach. Will you help the needy in Odessa have a Merry Christmas? The 28th year of the Empty Stocking Fund ends December the 17th with a $100,000 goal to meet the needs in our community. The fund helps families who are struggling to meet ends. Many are single moms and grandmothers trying to raise family in tough economic times. Funds donated to the Empty Stocking stay in Ector County and help local families. The Empty Stocking Fund is an annual fundraising effort by the Odessa American and the Salvation Army. Empty Stocking funds go for a good holiday meal and small gifts under the tree for needy seniors and children. Donations to the Empty Stocking Fund may be mailed or delivered to the Salvation Army Community Center, 810 East 11th Street, or the Odessa American, 700 North Grant, Suite 800. Call the Salvation Army at 332-0738. The Empty Stocking Fund was created by the Odessa American in 1995 and has raised more than $2.1 million. Or you can donate online at tinyurl.com. Storytime Christmas. The Ector County Library Children's Department has scheduled story time, Christmas, and a basement activity at 10 a.m. today. Story time will be located at the library's third floor auditorium at 321 West 5th Street. Cowboy Christmas. The Ector Theater, 500 North Texas Avenue, will present Michael Martin Murphy's Cowboy Christmas today. Doors open at 6 p.m. and the show starts at 7:30 p.m. Tickets start at $40. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit tinyurl.com. Donations. LBJ Elementary School is teaming up with the Ector County ISD Athletics and PE Department to give donations of diapers and other baby items to the Family Promise. The items will be dropped off at the athletics department, and they will take it to Family Promise. The drive ends Thursday. The mission of Family Promise is to help families experiencing homelessness and low-income families achieve sustainable independence through a community-based response, its website said. How to make bathrooms safer. Danger might not be the first word to come to mind when individuals consider their bathrooms, but perhaps it should be. After all, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reports that each year more than 1.5 million aging adults visit emergency rooms for fall-related injuries, many of which occur in the bathroom. Many falls and spills that occur in the bathroom can be prevented. Seniors or their loved ones can make some minor adjustments to bathrooms so falls are less likely to happen. Install grab bars in the shower and bath and elsewhere as necessary. Grab bars make it easier for aging men and women to get into and out of the shower or the tub by giving them something to hold onto. This can be especially helpful for seniors who must step up and over their tubs to bathe. Though they are primarily used in showers and tubs, grab bars also can be installed alongside toilets for seniors who could use a little help sitting down and getting up from their toilets. AARP notes that sheltering arm grab bars provide the best support around toilets. Such grab bars come around both sides of the toilet and look similar to armrests. Install LED lighting. Poor lighting in a bathroom can make it hard for seniors to see, which can make them more vulnerable to slips and falls. That's especially so for seniors who find themselves making frequent bathroom visits overnight. Even bathrooms with seemingly adequate lighting may be dangerous if they feature dated light fixtures that rely on incandescent bulbs to light the room. Incandescent bulbs burn out with greater frequency than LED alternatives, which can last for years. The longer bulbs last, the less often seniors need to change them, which also reduces their risk for injury. In addition to replacing traditional fixtures with LED alternatives, individuals can plug in LED nightlights that make it easy to see when making nighttime visits to the bathroom. Utilize non-slip bath mats. Non-slip bath mats often utilize rubber-backed liners to ensure the mats stay put even when floors get wet or damp from condensation after a hot bath or shower. Non-slip mats can be placed where individuals will enter and exit the shower and even by the toilet and sink so individuals always feel safe and steady on their feet. Clean bathrooms regularly. Bathroom surfaces can grow slippery from soap scum, condensation, and previous spills. Prompt and routine cleaning can reduce the likelihood that seniors will fall in their bathrooms. Seniors who have difficulty keeping up with household cleaning can hire a cleaning service or ask a younger relative to help them keep their bathrooms clean and safe. Seniors can fall anywhere in a home, but may be more likely to do so in a bathroom. Various measures can help make bathrooms safer for aging individuals. Obituaries. Janet Hudson Blount passed away on December the 3rd. Jesus Manuel Galindo, also known as Shorty, age 69 of Odessa, passed away on December 9th at the Covenant Medical Center Hospital in Lubbock, Texas. Jerry Don Gray, age 70, died on November the 25th. Richard Lee Dick Jenkins passed away on Thursday, December the 8th. Joy Allison Bowling passed away on December the 6th at the age of 82. Manuel Navarrete passed away on December the 11th at the age of 92. Ronnie Wayne Weaver, age 78, died December the 8th. Marion Atkins Reedy, age 92, passed away on December the 6th. Fred Leggett, age 83 of Midland, passed away on December the 9th.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram, Health and Wellness for Wednesday, December 14th, 2022. Whole Person Health Program Offered. The new year offers us an opportunity to reboot our life. It is more than making short-term resolutions. This new year, make sure you are committed to changing the course, seeking the right advice, and learning about lifestyle changes that could prevent and treat some of the chronic disease processes and reverse them. Change is hard, uncomfortable, and requires discipline and commitment. Let this year not be about managing your diseases, but disrupting the status quo to affect real change in health outcomes, helping you adopt healthier habits, and hopefully having you rely less on prescription medications. The COVID-19 pandemic has shed light on problems with the current health care system. If we look at each challenge as an opportunity to learn and grow, we have a lot of work to do. We know that those with obesity and, quote, underlying chronic health conditions, end quote, had poor outcomes. These are not mysterious illnesses. These are chronic diseases that we have culturally normalized as part of our adult life. Unfortunately, 6 in 10 adults in the U.S. have a chronic disease, and 4 in 10 have two or more chronic disease conditions. The pandemic has taught us that we can no longer continue to deliver fragmented care and treat mental and physical health separately because they are fundamentally linked. People living with mental/emotional health problems are at higher risk of experiencing a wide range of chronic physical conditions. Conversely, people living with multiple chronic physical health conditions experience depression and anxiety at twice the rate of the general population. At the Lifestyle Medicine Center, we are starting a new holistic solution. Whole Person Health Program to address this gap in current medical care. I'm excited to share that we are expanding our service options and offering innovative programs in the new year. Here is a list of what we're offering in 2023. Lifestyle Medicine Consultations with LM Certified Physician. This offers an in-depth review of your lifestyle behaviors, assessing chronic disease burden, understanding the relationship between lifestyle behaviors and chronic diseases, and offering a personalized lifestyle prescription to improve your health and well-being. All these services are covered as a physician's office visit, billed to your insurance, and delivered either in person or on a telehealth platform. Whole Person Health Program. This program will focus on the whole patient by addressing both physical health and mental/emotional well-being through our top-rated and successful program, an intensive therapeutic lifestyle change program in combination with the LIFT project. We will offer a team-based approach using a shared medical appointment model to deliver this innovative program. Pritikin Intensive Cardiac Rehabilitation. Heart disease is the number one killer in the U.S. We are the only program in our area that offers an intensive cardiac rehab program for cardiac patients. It is a unique lifestyle program that provides the support and education you need to commit to a new and healthier lifestyle. It offers medically supervised exercise tailored to your current fitness level, Pritikin exclusive workshops, cooking classes, and education. Remember, heart disease is a lifestyle disease. If you do not change your lifestyle behaviors after having a cardiac event, it is just a matter of time before you have another cardiac event. Health and Wellness Coach Service. We realize that sometimes we need more than just a prescription to manage our health. That is why we offer a health and wellness coaching option to help you develop and implement a personal wellness plan. They highlight your strengths and help you set realistic yet achievable goals. We offer a variety of packages for this service with nominal fees. Pivot Tobacco Cessation Program. Pivot is a self-paced program that helps people reduce or quit smoking, vaping, and other tobacco products. Pivot's non-judgmental approach has been proven to increase motivation and help people deal with the triggers that lead to smoking. Access Pivot through your smartphone. There are no classes, no phone calls, and no pressure to quit. Best of all, Pivot is available free of charge for a limited number of participants currently. The LIFT Project. We are excited to offer an innovative, evidence-based well-being program. It is a program that uniquely brings together scientifically proven strategies drawn from research in the fields of neuroscience, lifestyle medicine, and positive psychology. Research in positive psychology has expanded in the past 3 decades. One of the most exciting research areas is the effect of positive psychology activities on subjective well-being and our physical health. Eat Love Personalized Nutrition Prescription. Eat Love is a nutrition system that provides custom meal recommendations to help build lasting, healthy habits around food. Individual nutrition prescription is created by a registered dietitian, and the app offers more than 7,000 dietitian-approved recipes. Weekly educational classes. We know that it is not easy to make lifestyle changes, and that is why we offer ongoing education and support by providing weekly educational classes and partnering with Healthy City, the nonprofit organization which offers monthly potlucks, grocery store tours, and cooking demonstrations. As a lifestyle medicine provider, I remain optimistic that the impact of the national trauma of the pandemic will bring about much-needed reforms in healthcare. At the Lifestyle Medicine Center, we have been talking about reversing this chronic disease burden even before the pandemic scare. I take pride in creating a model that delivers state-of-the-art, evidence-based medical care at a low cost. Health is not a commodity. You cannot spend money and purchase good health. If that were true, the U.S. would be the healthiest country globally. Most of our programs at the Lifestyle Medicine Center are billed to insurance, thereby avoiding unnecessary out-of-pocket burdens for our patients. We are also not selling any vitamins, infusions, or supplements to profit from. If you are tired of managing your chronic diseases and are ready to discard the label of someone with underlying conditions, we are here to help you. If you are interested in learning more about any of these programs, call 432-221-LIFE. Mayo Clinic Q&A. Coping with holiday stresses. Dear Mayo Clinic, the holiday season is always stressful for me. I get overwhelmed with the hustle and bustle, especially shopping for gifts and juggling the different traditions our interfaith family keeps. Do you have any suggestions for how to make the holidays less challenging? Answer. The end of your holiday season means different things to different people. Family and religious traditions are observed in various ways, and the meals and the extra activities can lead to a lot of stress. For many people, much of the focus tends to be on gift giving. Gifts are a wonderful way to show love, appreciation, and gratitude. but not everyone needs a gift in the traditional sense. Gifts can take on many different tones, but most people tend to think about gifts as something that is purchased, an item wrapped with ribbon and paper to be opened and enjoyed. But making a meaningful connection or having a deeper conversation with someone also can be a gift. Take time to pause and think about what is important, as that can probably provide a greater value. Sometimes the more meaningful gifts are the things we give from the heart, actions or activities we can do with people we care about. One idea is to go back to that childhood concept of giving coupons. For instance, give a parent, sibling, or friend the gift of time and assistance. Quote, I'll help you with this hardware project, end quote. Or, quote, I'll help you clean out the garage this spring, end quote. When considering the gifts you want to give, take a moment to think about your intentions. Are you accomplishing what you want? Ask yourself if you are being authentic with the way you communicate with other people. Are you buying a gift because you feel like you must, or are you buying a gift that truly reflects how you feel about the person? Additionally, amid putting value on giving to and doing for others, it is also important to think about yourself. You mentioned feeling stressed and overwhelmed with the chaos of the holidays. Consider asking others to tackle certain tasks if you can. Also, it is important to take time for yourself during this season. If you're feeling frustrated, short on time, or impatient, it will be helpful to try to reduce your stress and take some time for yourself. Often people think of self-care as always going out and doing something, like getting their nails done or going to the gym. But sometimes focusing on self-care is about mindfulness, pausing, being quiet at your desk or in bed, breathing, shutting your eyes, and giving yourself permission to slow down and not think about all the other things that are competing for attention. As you navigate your end of year calendar, social activities are a big part of expectations. One of the biggest challenges this time of year is staying mindful of a healthy diet, keeping portion size reasonable, and limiting fatty foods and alcohol. While it can be tempting to take advantage of a few glasses of wine or other beverages, alcohol can raise your risk for heart issues, especially if you happen to be at risk. Travel and schedule changes also can be challenging, so ask yourself what you may be able to say no to during the holidays. For some people, the holidays can be sad and stressful. If that is your situation, try to give yourself a break. Plan and do what feels reasonable. Sometimes self-care is giving yourself permission to stay at home. Certainly, the holidays are a high-risk time for many people. Pay attention to your body. If you have symptoms of illness, feel despair, or increased depression, don't hesitate to seek out professional guidance. Compiled by Mayo Clinic staff. Study. Suicide does not increase during holidays. Do suicide deaths really spike during the winter holidays, as is so often claimed in the media? To the contrary, historically, December has the lowest suicide death rate. Yet the myth that suicide rates increase in the, quote, jolly season, end quote, persists, potentially putting people who are vulnerable at risk, psychologists say. Researchers at the Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania found close to 900 media references to the, quote, holiday suicide myth, end quote, over the past 23 years. And in only 9 of those 23 years were there more stories debunking the myth than supporting it. The latest analysis, released Monday, found that during last winter, only 25 stories made the connection between the holidays and rise in suicide. More than half portrayed it as true. The holidays and the end of the year can be an emotional time for people, said Dan Romer, a psychologist and research director of the Annenberg Public Policy Center. Some people might feel anxious taking stock of the past year, while others might struggle with the shorter days and seasonal affective disorder. The holidays can be especially difficult for people who don't have family to spend the occasion with. Romer said that the holiday suicide myth might come from a place of good intentions, wanting to help and shed light on a problem. But it can be harmful when suicide is portrayed as a popular way to solve a problem. Quote, it can have a contagious effect, end quote, he said. Suicide is a leading cause of death of young people in the U.S., according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The overall number of suicide deaths increased by 35% between 1999 and 2018. The suicide rate declined in 2019 and 2020, but rose again in 2021, when nearly 48,000 people died by suicide. The suicide death rate does vary throughout the year, and it is actually the lowest in December. In 2021, there were 15% more suicide deaths in August than there were in December, according to provisional estimates from the CDC. Romer sees some progress toward ending the myth. Large publications rarely make the false claim that suicide death increases during the holidays anymore. But the myth remains common at smaller local media outlets, he said. And while there could be harm in repeating the holiday suicide myth, that should not discourage anyone from reminding others to reach out to people in their lives who might be lonely or having a hard time during the holiday season. End quote. We should, of course, be reaching out to people who are in crisis, end quote, Romer said. More women get high blood pressure postpartum. For up to a year after giving birth, more than 1 in 10 women, 12%, who did not have high blood pressure before or during pregnancy, developed the condition, according to research published in the journal Hypertension. The study found that in nearly a fourth of those cases, hypertension developed 6 weeks or more after childbirth, and 17% of the women had what was considered a severe case. The researchers analyzed blood pressure measurements from the prenatal period through 12 months after delivery for the 3,925 study participants, including 2,465 women with no history of chronic or pregnancy-related hypertension. At least two separate blood pressure readings of at least 140 over 90, taken more than 48 hours after delivery, were considered new-onset postpartum hypertension. The researchers defined readings of 160 over 110 as severe cases. They also found that those at highest risk for developing new-onset postpartum hypertension are women older than 35, current or former smokers, and women who deliver via cesarean section. Among the study participants, having all three characteristics raised the risk of developing postpartum hypertension to 29%. Possible complications of postpartum hypertension, especially for severe cases, include an increased risk for seizures, stroke, cardiovascular disease, and kidney failure. Currently, women who don't have blood pressure problems before or during pregnancy usually have their blood pressure checked just once in the 4 to 6 weeks after delivery. But the researchers suggest that getting more frequent blood pressure checkups could keep new cases of postpartum hypertension from going undiagnosed. This article is part of the Post's, quote, Big Number, end quote, series, which takes a brief look at the statistical aspect of health issues. Additional information and relevant research are available through the hyperlinks.
Antigens after COVID remain in system, but aren't infectious. Dear Dr. Roach, will I continue to test positive for COVID-19 antigens even after I recover from the virus? I tested positive using the free at-home COVID-19 antigen self-test a week ago, and I tested positive again yesterday. Once you have the antigens in your system, don't they stay there for a while? And Dr. Roach answers, it is frequent that people will have persistently positive COVID-19 tests after infection, sometimes for weeks, but that does not mean that they are still infectious. It is quite rare for a person with a normal immune system and mild or moderate disease to continue to be infectious more than 10 days after the onset of infection. People who have had severe disease, such as those who required inpatient hospitalization with a ventilator, or those with severe immune system disease, such as those taking cancer, chemotherapy, or other powerful drugs to suppress the immune system, may continue to be infectious 20 or more days after infection and should consult an expert for information on duration of isolation.
This is the Dear Abby column. Dear Abby, my ex-wife Jenny and I were together 7 years, married for almost 5 of them. We have a young child together. We have been divorced for 8 months. I have been trying to reconcile with her because she is the love of my life and I want our family to be together. The problem is, since we separated, she has been seeing my ex-best friend, Mac, who was the best man at our wedding. I was crushed when I found out. I have tried to show Jenny that Mac is a manipulator and a liar, and that he hasn't been honest with her during their time together. I know that I am clearly the best man for Jenny, our son, and our family. However, she continues to see Mac, even after his true colors have been shown, and after I have done everything to make things right with us and win her back. How should I proceed, knowing she's making the wrong decision? Signed, Righting a Wrong. Dear Writing, please accept my sympathy, because it is obvious you are hurting. You can't save your marriage all by yourself. It takes two. Your ex is unwilling to accept that Mac hasn't been honest, and sometimes people must learn the hard way. As much as you'd like to save Jenny, she's going to have to make her own mistakes. Stay close so you can buffer your son if there are stormy seas ahead. If Mac is as bad as you say, their romance likely will not last. Dear Abby, my husband and I have two adult sons, 22 and 20. We help them become independent by teaching them as teenagers to cook, do their laundry, scrub their bathrooms, vacuum, do dishes, etc. Our oldest moved out a year ago and rented an apartment with his 28-year-old girlfriend. A month after he moved, we were invited to their place for dinner. The apartment was a mess. We let our son know they need to spend 15 to 30 minutes every day picking up after themselves, so their days off won't be spent cleaning. They both work crazy hours. Neither one thinks cleaning their apartment is important. We have bought them cleaning supplies, a vacuum, a mop, etc., to help them maintain their apartment, but they sit unused. Their place is now a total disaster. It pains me to see them live like this. This isn't how our son was raised. By the way, she is the mother of a 5-year-old who stays with her 3 days a week. Part of me wants to call CPS because no child should live in these conditions, but I'm hesitant because of my son. He loves her and enjoys living with her. I desperately need advice on how to best handle this. Signed, Fastidious in Washington. Dear Fastidious, I understand that you are disgusted, but the best way to handle this would be to step back and stay out of it. This is how your son has chosen to live for now. If he is bothered by the mess, he's capable of stepping in to rectify it. You should not call CPS unless the child is in imminent danger. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.